Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and find the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, if you would, please. You don't have to find any other passage of Scripture. I believe we'll be there the whole time. I'm excited to preach to you on this Sunday morning as we have started or will begin today a three-week series on the subject of biblical missions. Biblical missions. We do this annually. Every September, we have a long history in our church of setting aside these days to focus on biblical missions or getting the gospel around the world. And I do believe in my heart that one of the reasons that God has a unique and special blessing on Plantation Baptist Church is because we have a heart for biblical missions. Matter of fact, I believe that biblical missions or missions is the heartbeat of God. And since it is the heartbeat of God, it ought to be the heartbeat of God's people. And I do believe there is a unique and special blessing that rests corporately on our church because of biblical missions. But I also do believe that there is a unique blessing that rests upon us as individuals as we give ourselves to understanding and practicing biblical missions in our lives and in our homes and in our families. And I come to you today as your pastor, excited to preach on this subject. I feel like to those of us who've been saved for a while, those of us that have been members of Plantation Baptist Church for a while, we seem hungering and thirsting like the rest to hear about the mission story, which means this. You never get tired of hearing about biblical missions, hearing about the responsibility to take the gospel to a lost world. Never get tired of hearing about the powerful transformation of people's lives as they come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the unique things about our church and about South Florida, as in other parts of the country, is we are very transient, which means that people come in and they go out. And they're here for a season, and then it seems like they pass through to a different part of our nation or around the world. We have many folks that are saved every year, new people that are coming, and so it's exciting to be able to preach missions to some folks for the very first time in their life as they hear it and as they understand it. I'm preaching today a message entitled, Biblical Missions. An endangered species with a question mark. I did some research this week on Google. Pastor, I didn't know you knew how to do that. I didn't. Allie helps me with Google. She's my 12-year-old. And I typed into Google endangered species. And a lot of things happen when you type something into Google. You got to be careful. So endangered species, and a bunch of websites came up, and I just picked the first two. And they were some animal organization, animal rights kind of deals. But they had listed on there the list of endangered species or the list of animals that would be in trouble. As I was researching that, I found that really and truthfully, there's three lists when it comes to this. There is a list called vulnerable. There is a list called endangered. And there is a list called extinct. There were about four or five names on the extinct list. The endangered list had quite a few more names than that. But the vulnerable list, it had a long list of names. And these would be animals that someone thinks are at risk of losing or becoming on the endangered species or extinct from our world. Most of those animals that were on the vulnerable list taste pretty good. So that was kind of a thing for me there. Maybe I need to stop what I'm doing a little bit to help out the animal population, but it was kind of interesting. And all these organizations and these groups, they're working very hard to keep those animals off of even the vulnerable list. But if they get on the vulnerable list, they don't want them to move up to the endangered list. And they sure don't want them to be extinct in our world and in our culture. I'm coming to you today as your pastor because I do believe that if you were to survey Christians, or you were to survey our churches today from every denomination on the earth that you want to survey, anybody that calls themselves a Christian or calls themselves a church-going person, I believe that biblical missions, after you did a survey there, you would find that might be making its way toward the vulnerable list. And I absolutely do not want to see biblical missions become vulnerable at Plantation Baptist Church. I don't want it to become endangered in our church. And God forbid that it ever become extinct from the churches. Then our nation would be in tremendous trouble and our world would be in tremendous trouble. So I feel burdened today to preach to you on the subject of biblical missions. And I may do more teaching than preaching, but I'm asking God to bring our church to an understanding heart in biblical missions. Not just so we kind of look at the word or have some kind of definition, but that it becomes part of the very fiber and makeup of our church corporately and of your life individually. And so I want you to be able to know it, communicate it, practice it, apply it, and be blessed by it, because I want for biblical missions to forever be the theme of our church. I believe that's important. If you do, say amen as well. All right, so you, mom and dad, have responsibility to teach your children biblical missions. It's your responsibility to make sure that your home is able to further the blessing and the biblical responsibility to missions. And so I want it to be a way of life for you. I grew up in a preacher's home. I grew up and I got saved as a little boy in the kindergarten age. And I had the privilege of growing up in a pastor's home where missions was a way of life to us. The person of Christ was a way of life in our home. Church was a way of life in our home. The Bible was a way of life in our home. And missions was a way of life in our home. It was within our fiber. It became part of our schedules. It became part of our vision. It became just part of our lives. And I want that to be part of your life, not only just for your sake, but also for the Lord's sake, that we will be able to do what He's called us to do. And so I'm preaching biblical message, and I need you to understand it, and I need you to be able to have it just not in your brain, but in your heart. Acts chapter 13 is the chapter that we go to when it's time for biblical missions. You ought to write down at the top of Acts chapter 13, biblical missions. When you think of biblical missions, you think of what chapter? Here we go. When you think of biblical missions, you think of what chapter? Acts 13. People ask me all the time, Pastor. Matter of fact, I just got asked this question when I was shaking hands with somebody. Pastor, how do you memorize almost everybody in the church's name? People are amazed with the ability that God has given to me to remember people's names. Now I can start right here with this lovely lady in blue. Her name is Casey. She's my daughter. I know her name, okay? All right, and I can go all the way through here with Miss Morgan and up and name a lot of names. Pastor, how do you do that? I'll let you in on a little secret. When I meet you for the very first time and you introduce yourself to me, I am constantly saying your name while I'm talking to you. I'm listening to you and I'm saying your name in my brain. Despite what some of my own family thinks, I can do more than one thing at one time. So when you're talking to me, I'm thinking, and I'll use Brother Dave as an example. And when I met him for the very first time, he's telling me about who he is and who his wife is. I'm saying in my mind, Dave, Kelly, Dave, Kelly, Dave, Kelly. While they're talking to me, I'm trying to notice something about them. You would probably be amazed at how I remember you in your physical appearance and how I tie your name to your physical appearance. So Dave, dark glasses. He has an eye injury, an eye problem. He wears dark glasses. Dave, Kelly, dark glasses over and over and over and over again. Then what I try to do is tomorrow morning is my day off on Monday. So when I wake up in the morning on Monday throughout the day, I start right here on my left. And in my mind, I go up the whole pews. I come back down this way and I search the whole church. And you're looking at a human facial recognition system. And I try to think, was Joe and Natty, and she's leaving with the baby, were they in their seat today? Was Bob Hamlin in his seat today? I go all the way back and I try to make sure. Was Carol in her seat today? Is George in his seat today? Todd sat over here last week. He's over here this week. That blows my mind when you move seats, okay? And so I work my way through there. And then I think, okay, I met those people. What were their names? And I'm working on it. Now, last week, I had a problem. I need just a second. I need to scan the auditorium to make sure these people are not here for this illustration. So just give me 1 minute. I know where they sit and I'm checking on them. And unless they've changed seats on me, I don't think they're here. Okay, this was great. So I got a young man in our church and I think he has a girlfriend. At least he brings this girl. I think they're boyfriend and girlfriend. I'm not sure. But I think I've seen this man with another girl before. So if I remember your name, if I learn your name, I don't forget it. If I learn it wrong, you're that name for the rest of your life. So I had learned this one girl's name. So they were coming out and they were shaking my hand. And I grabbed his hand. I said, man, it's so good to see you. And I used his name. And then I went to her and I said, so good to see you. And I used the name. And she looked at me and she said, that's not my name. Now, his face looked horrified. And I'm like, okay. I've got the wrong person here. But I know he came with another girl one time before. I didn't feel like I should tell her that right here, right now. But no. So then I got it all straightened out. Now I know the girl I was thinking, and man, if she comes with another man, now I'm going to be all confused. But I was trying to learn their name. All right, I worked very hard at that. Okay, it's ingrained in my fiber to do that. So when you think of missions, you think of what book? Acts 13. Okay, learn it. Verse number 1. Now there were in the church, underline the word church, circle the word church, highlight the word church. That was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work. Underline the word work, highlight it, circle it. Whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent. Underline the word sent. Circle it, highlight it, do something to it. Them away. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached, underline that word, highlight it, circle it, the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, I'm preaching to you biblical missions. I'm preaching it so it becomes in your fiber and in your nature and in your mind and in your heart, so it does not become vulnerable in your life, moving toward an endangered species in our church and extinction within the world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we find in this passage where missions is unfolded for our local church. And matter of fact, I had you highlight that word church. And here's what I would like to say to the church this morning. Missions is the responsibility of everyone in the church. Now, when you think of church, I don't know how you guys think of church. So sometimes when people think of church, they just think of our building. Sometimes when you think about church, you might think about everybody but yourself, kind of the church or that church, or they may say your church. I love it when people say our church. And I'm not sure what you understand, but the Bible definition of church is anyone that is born again or possesses the Spirit of God, you are the church. You. Therefore, every saved person is to be a missionary. Every saved person. The great preacher, Dr. Spurgeon, I read a quote from him that read this. Every Christian is either a missionary or they are an imposter. Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, Richie's a missionary and Doug and Debbie are missionaries. I'm not a missionary. My friend, if you have Jesus in you, you are a missionary. Okay. So Dr. Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or they are an imposter, fake, hypocrite, not real. Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean this. When the Lord Jesus, before he ascended, his last words to his disciples and to the true believers of Christ were that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matter of fact, in the book of Acts chapter 1, when he was ascending there, he outlined that missions program. He said, now in your Jerusalem, which was their local town, their Judea, their Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the world. He wasn't talking to a building. He wasn't talking per se to a church in some kind of mysterious form. He was talking to men and women who knew the Lord Jesus. So you, brother so-and-so, you, sister so-and-so, if you are a Christian, you are a missionary. Think about that a moment. And what you need to understand is that biblical missions has been ordained to be accomplished through the local church. Pastor, help me with missionary or imposter. Okay, this is how that goes. That doesn't mean that you necessarily have gone to a mission field. That doesn't necessarily mean that you are a full-time missionary. But here's what it does. If you have Jesus in your heart, then you have the heart of God in you. Okay. And the heart of God is that not any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That none should be lost, but that all should be saved. So if Jesus lives in you, the Spirit of God indwells you, then his nature is yearning and crying and desiring for people to be saved. So believers want other people to be saved. Non-believers never think about it. Non-believers never think about it. Wow. So let me ask you a question. Do you ever think about anybody being saved around you? Do you ever walk by somebody or in your family? And man, you look at them and you think, my God, where are they going to spend eternity? Have you ever driven by your neighbor's house and see your neighbors out there and think, man, they need the Lord? You ever been to the mall? God knows if anybody needs the Lord, it's the Sawgrass Mills Mall. And you watch the people go by. And listen, every Christian is a missionary or an imposter. An imposter does not have God in them. If you don't have God in you, you don't care about the souls of men. and women. But if God lives in you, then there is a desire and a care and a thought for where people are going to spend eternity. Amen? So now listen, now you might understand why your preacher's not nuts. I'm preaching biblical missions. I see it becoming vulnerable. I see biblical missions becoming endangered, therefore extinct, because most people come to church and they don't reckon who they are in themselves. They don't reckon themselves to be a believer, and they don't reckon themselves to be a missionary. So they never think about it. But no wonder we're not reaching as like we should. I love you, but I want you to understand something. It's not my job to be the only one in this church to care about whether people go to heaven or hell. That's your job. My job is to make sure that I preach this book and that I equip you and that I pray for you and that I feed you and teach you and encourage you. But it is your job to go out into the world and preach the gospel. So how are we doing on our job? Well, Pastor, I didn't even think about it. That's right. That's why I'm preaching this, to help us. It's got to become in the fiber of our body. And so in the church is the program that God called and moved for missions to come out of. And you are the church if you're saved. Saved people are the what? Church. When you want to know about missions, you go where? Acts 13. Keep reading. The second word I had you highlight was the word work in verse number 2. In this church, the Spirit of God moved and specifically called two men out of this church. And the Spirit of God requested that they be separated unto the Spirit of God for the work. When you read the Bible, you will never find the word missions and you will never find the word missionary. Those words are not in the Bible. But the work of missions and missionaries are in the Bible. And so here's what happens. And this is what I'm praying for in our church. God reached into this church and the Spirit of God called two people that were within this church and said, separate them for the work of full-time missions or ambassadors. These folks would be ones that would be sent out. Now, Richie and Doug are missionaries. They are missionaries that God has reached into a missions church and said, separate them. I'm going to send them out of the church, and their full-time job ministry is to be concentrated on missions. Now, they're not the only missionaries in the building, because they're not the only saved people in this building. I'm saved, and if you're saved, say amen. So we're missionaries. But in biblical missions, God reaches into the church and he says, I want so-and-so. I want you. I want to ask you a question. Has God called you to full-time missionary work? Pastor, help me. I'm glad you brought this up, Pastor. Help me understand what God would call for full-time missionary work. Well, usually what happens is, the Spirit of God begins to minister into your spirit. And the Spirit of God begins to let you think about the possibility of being a missionary. The Spirit of God begins to open up your eyes and let you see things. And everywhere you go in your life, you run into the thought of missions. And you're at your job and you're working and you're thinking about ministry or missions. And you're supposed to be concentrating on your job and you're thinking about the Bible. And you come to a service like this and it just seems like God just kind of works on that heart in a very special and unique way. That's probably the Spirit of God calling you and wanting you to be separated under the work of missions. I am praying that God would reach into our church and call someone or some families to full-time missionary work. I would beg you to pray with me about that. So many reasons why people don't do that. They're afraid, or they're scared of what would happen, or they think they could never be a missionary. Once again, every saved person is a... So don't sit there and think you can't be a missionary. You are one. You're one. Pastor, you know what I mean. Let me tell you what I think the Bible says. The greatest place you can be in your life is in the will of God. greatest place you can be is in the will of God. And if God is calling you for full-time missions, and you're nervous about surrendering, or you're nervous about what is going to happen there, believe me, our God is faithful, just like they sang that great song. And the most blessed and peaceful and joyous part of our lives is when we are obedient in the center of God's will. Now, he doesn't call everybody to full-time missions as far as leaving the church and going out, but we all have the responsibility to be witnesses. We all have the responsibility in missions, and he'll reach in and he'll call those folks for a full-time Christian service. Is God calling you? Look at, let me show you the type of person God calls. Look at verse number 2. In verse number 2, it says, ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Usually, God calls the people who are already serving in some capacity to full-time missionary work. So, to all my deacons out there, is God calling you? To the staff, is God calling you? To all my choir people, is God calling you? To all my Sunday school teachers, is God calling you? To my greeters, to the parking lot, to the janitorial staff, to the nursery. What else do we do around here? I don't know, I can't remember. Is God calling you? That's usually what God does. People that are serving, God says, now as they ministered, I'm going to call them to full-time service. Now, sometimes people do this. They think, well, I'm already serving. That's enough. Oh, no, my friend. No, my friend. That's just the beginning. You want to let God take you wherever God wants to take you, because God can take you further than you ever dreamed. So is God calling you? He comes down in verse number 3, and it says that when they had fasted and prayed and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away and being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. So this is what happens now. As God calls individuals and we reckon the call of God on our life, then we as a church get behind that and we send them away. We help support them. So Richie is here and Brother Doug is here, and they're saying, listen, God called us out of our churches. He was called out of St. Petersburg, Florida, out of Park Street Baptist Church. He'll tell you about it tonight. God reached in, called him, and is sending him to Wales. Doug was called somewhere off the street. I don't know where he was called from. And reached in his life, and God called him. And so as God calls these guys, then it's our responsibility to get behind them. It's our responsibility to help send them on their way. We do that through prayer support. We do that understanding. We do that through financial support. So part of the fiber of our church is lined on these walls in the hallway. And these walls on these pictures in the hallways, these are men and women that God has reached into their churches, called them. Their churches are sending them. We're getting behind them. And within the grain and the backbone and the nature of our church, we're pumping money to speed them on their way. In a normal year, our church will send more than $250,000 to send people around the world. Amen. It's amazing. $250,000 around the world. So we're getting behind them and encouraging them within our fiber. So you're learning missions, biblical, Acts 13. Begins in the church. The whole church is responsible to be missionaries. Either I am a missionary or I am an apostle. If I never think about somebody being saved, then I wonder if God's in you. I just got to let that sink a second. If I never think about people being saved, am I an imposter? Powerful. Then God calls people from within our church. So the fiber of our church, I'm asking God to begin to call families out of here and let's send them wherever God calls them. Wouldn't it be great to send people to the mission field from our church? It'd be fantastic. You're scared out of your mind right now. Then we help send them away. Now look at the work of missions. Look at verse number 4. I had you underline that word preached. Now, this is biblical missions. Biblical missions is not solely a humanitarian effort. Now, we go to Haiti, and they have a wonderful humanitarian effort down there. They feed, they clothe, they shelter, they have facilities with doctors and dentists and clinics and transportation. I mean, we're literally going into Haiti and saving people's physical lives. And it's a wonderful humanitarian effort. But they never do any humanitarian effort where they do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Biblical missions includes the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this is our responsibility. This is your responsibility. And I can start calling people's names. It's your responsibility. You are not I'm not the only preacher in this place. You're a preacher if you know the Lord. Amen. Even the women. You're to preach the gospel. Now, you don't hold the office of a pastor, but my God, if God lives in your heart, you ought to want to tell everybody about the Lord Jesus. That's your call. That's your call. How many over the last year have had the wonderful privilege to lead somebody to faith in Christ? Could I see your hand if you had the wonderful privilege to lead somebody to faith in Christ? Great, hands everywhere. How many are currently witnessing to somebody that you're begging God for their soul, man? Soul. God bless you. Now, the rest of us, we think about it. Well, Pastor, I just can't do it like you. I do it horribly. Pastor, it's just not my gift. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because if the nature of Christ is in you, then the nature of winning people to Christ is part of you. Amen? Amen? See, this is why I see it as vulnerable. This is why I see it as endangered. This is why I see it extinct. Nobody wants to share the good news too much anymore. We don't think about it. And I know you're not against the Lord, and I know that you love the Lord. But I'm trying to get it to become the fiber of our nature. Every time we go out to dinner now, I leave a track when we pay the bill, or when Beverly pays the bill, she pays the bill, and we leave a track and we hand people a track. We're constantly thinking about who we're going to reach, and biblical missions is preaching the gospel. So Richie's going to preach the gospel. Doug preaches the gospel, and that's what we want. And people say all the time, well, Pastor, people don't want to hear the gospel. Look at verse number 42 in chapter 13. Look at verse number 42. At the end of that verse, it says that those people pleaded with them to come back and preach to them again on the Sabbath day. What does that mean? People want to hear truth. People want to hear hope. People want to hear about the Lord. We make so many excuses about why we don't do what we do, when the reality is you wanted to hear. Aren't you glad somebody told you about the Lord? I wanted to hear. I wanted to know that. Well, Pastor, nobody wants to hear about those things. Oh, man, let me teach you a couple things. You got to learn when the devil's talking to you and when God's talking to you, and the devil's not your spouse. You got to learn this. So have you ever had this opportunity where you're standing in a store line or you're standing in some kind of situation and God gets your attention and God says, say something to that person about the gospel? Anybody ever had that experience? First thing that happens is we get all shook up. We get all nervous. And then what happens is usually the minions of hell show up in our mind. Well, they look happy. They don't need the Lord. They got everything they want. They don't need it. They are not going to listen. They don't have time. It's just not convenient. But what you don't understand is this. Normally, when God touches you like that, where you begin to shake, or you begin to get your stomach gets, I mean, you're just consumed that this is what God wants you to do. Normally, God is already working in these people's lives. They've either had a tragedy. They've been thinking about God somehow. And these people are looking for truth. And God knows that. And God chose you, brother so-and-so, and you, sister so-and-so, to be the missionary of that day. And so their heart is broken. God has nurtured that thing to being ready. Your heart has been stimulated by the Spirit of God. You are the bridge. And then you and I have the audacity to think, well, they won't hear. They're begging to hear. We have the audacity to think, well, I can't do a good job. I got news for you. You can't do a good job. If I count on doing a good job being your preacher, I'd quit. But God does a great job. And the devil comes in and he just is relentless in our mind. Please remember the next time you're standing there. And God says, witness to them, pastor telling you, God's working on that person already. He's working on them. It's just a matter of you being open to let God do what God wants to do. The church, the work, sending, and preaching. These are points to missions that I'm trying to weave into the fiber of your spiritual backbone. I want it to become part of your marriage. I want it to become part of how you raise your children. I want it to become part of how you organize your home. I want it to become part of your thinking. That people are dying and going to hell. And God has chosen us to be the missionaries. I want to ask you this question. What kind of missionary are you? If Spurgeon is right, every Christian is a missionary or they're an imposter. That means every Christian at some level cares about other people being saved. If you call yourself a Christian and you never think about it, that's a problem. Pretty soon we're going to go from vulnerable to endangered to extinct. God help us not to do that. Amen. Mm-hmm.